Welcome to episode 6 of We the Meeple, where we hold these truths to be self-evident that, well, if you don't know, we're not going to tell you. I'm your host, Corey, and with me I have my special co-host, as always. I have Cody.
Yo, yo.
And we have Joseph.
Looks like we're in some trouble.
Trouble, gotcha.
Didn't you already use that one?
I feel like you did, so. But...
I'm running out of games, man. Trouble. I'm about to quit it already after 6 episodes.
You already used trouble twice.
No, right. Sorry. Sorry.
They're different games. We'll see. That's okay, because I'm about to use my one good thing again. I'm thinking, like, did I already say something about this or not? But let's just jump into one good thing, and I'm going to start it off just in case this is a double. The movie Dune came out, so maybe I mentioned something about the Dune book and being very excited to play board games of it. And with the movie, I'm even more hyped. I went on BGG and I saw like 6 different Dune games were on the hotness list. And yeah, it's Year of Dune for sure. I think I'm going to ask for Dune Imperium for Christmas. Let's see if I get it. That is a double?
I don't think so.
I don't remember you saying it last time.
Okay, well, you know, I have the Dune board game in front of me, the one from the old days that we have to play. And yeah, I want Dune Imperium. So a couple Dune games in our future, guys. Joseph, why don't you take the next one?
My one good thing is that last episode I said I was going to buy Robinson Crusoe, and I have bought Robinson Crusoe, and I have played it twice by myself. And that game is hard.
All right. So that's how you do it. You get a 2-for-1. You say you're going to buy a game, then you play it, then the next one you can actually just talk about it. That's smart.
Yeah, that game is legit. It's really difficult. Hard. Yeah, difficult.
All right, Code. How about you, buddy?
I really don't have one.
And I quote, this will be the most prepared I've ever been for an
episode.
We
haven't played any games.
Moving on. last time we spun the Wheel of Destiny. We landed on... how important is art and theme? So I know we had done a podium on our favorite themes in gaming. So we're not going to be kind of discussing our favorite themes. We're going to be talking about how important it is to have a good artwork and good theme for your board game. So does anyone want to come out with anything and say how they feel?
I can start.
Okay.
I think artwork is important, but I believe theme is not so important. A theme gets you kind of interested in the game. You know, obviously, if it's, you know, a dinosaur game, it automatically hits my interest, or gambling or whatever. But to me, a good game is just a good game, whether the theme is good or not. I mean, some of my favorite games involve themes that you wouldn't really think or, you know, would interest me too much. So to me, themes, they're important, but not as important as, you know, people might think. But to me, I think art's really important. If you got a bland looking game, I feel like instantly you're kind of turned off by it. But that's just my opinion, obviously.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. You know, we do Game of the Month and we kind of like review a game and we have all these different categories. And looking at it right now, I think art and theme is probably the least important, but as you said, it's kind of like the thing that gets you interested in the game to begin with, you know? Like, if you're not looking at that game, if it doesn't stick out to you on the shelves or when you're searching the web, you're going to pass by it every time. So you need something striking to get your attention. And that's where the importance of art and theme comes into play. Once you get it to the table and you start playing and you're like, man, the mechanics are really great, all that kind of fades away. It kind of, or it enhances the theme. You know, you don't need the theme, but as those mechanics are good, it's like, man, this was great, you know, these mechanics. And vice versa, if you have a great art and theme and you put it on the table and the mechanics suck, you're not going to play the game just because the art's beautiful or the theme is something that you've really been looking for.
Yeah, I would agree. Art and theme is kind of the thing that kind of gets you interested in the game. Like you said, Corey, kind of helps you get it off the shelf. And then obviously game mechanics is the most important, because we've had multiple games where the theme nobody would ever be interested in, kind of like Viticulture. Who's interested in that theme? And it's literally Corey's like number one favorite game. not right. based on the theme, but because it, the game mechanics is great. And there's other ones out there that the theme is just like, what the heck? Who thought of this crap? And then you play it, and the gameplay is great. And I would kind of disagree with Cody a little bit with the art being so important, because there's some games out there that do have bland artwork, and you still, like, love them to a sense.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, I feel like they're kind of one and the same, I guess. Like, you know, you don't need to buy a game based off of art and theme. Like, you know, you, like we already all talked about, if you love a game, you love a game. It's just, you know, the art and theme. I think the theme maybe will propel a game, you to like a game a little more. You know, if it's an average game, but the theme you really like, then you may rate it a little higher than, you know, if it were, if it was a different theme. Not always, but sometimes I feel like that's the case in it. But yeah, yeah,
I would agree with that statement for sure.
Art and theme is, you know, whatever. It's, if it, you make a good game, you know, people are going to buy your game. They're going to like your game. If you do some research, you know, if it just make a good game, that's the most important thing out of all the game is just make a good game, and then the rest will fall into place.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. But that's yeah. also not totally the question. You know, we're asking how, and you kind of did answer, but we are asking how important it is. You know, if you make a good game, everything will fall into place. But like, I don't know. It's just some themes. Like, is there some themes that you just won't really play? Not I mean, really. I feel like we kind of have. We bought in everything. You know, we got Pret-a-Porter, which is a fashion show theme, which is nothing up our alleys at all. You know, we have Wingspan, which is bird sanctuaries. We have just so many different themes that, but I guess, is there one that you wouldn't touch?
I mean, we got a game about Hitler.
Great question. that's a great question. I don't think there is a game that out there that I really wouldn't touch, because we played a lot, like you said, a lot of them, all types of different themes.
I guess we do have a game about Hitler, but it's, I feel, very tongue-in-cheek. Like, would you ever play a serious game about Hitler? Like, that kind of seems like...
I mean, it depends on what you're doing in the game, you know?
I mean, I don't want to...
If you are literally Hitler and, you know, causing the crimes he caused, then maybe not. But if you're trying to stop Hitler, I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just... I don't think there would be a art and theme that, like Joey said, we would never play. I mean, I think every game we're open to... And, you know, we're willing to try. So to me, I the answer to your question is no. I feel like we'll play every art and theme game there is.
I think we will too. And I think obviously no one's made a game like that, because people would not be interested in it.
Right, right.
You know, no one's made, as far as I know, just like an outright racist game. You know, like, hey, racism's good, or hey, you know, the South won the Civil War or something like that. Like, people don't make those types of games because no one really wants to play those types, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you make games that'll stick out to people and make people want to play them, not try not to turn your audience off.
All right, now I didn't pre-screen any of these questions beforehand, but is there a theme that you guys would really like a game to be made of? Like, there might be a game made of it, but just one that you haven't played yet that you're real interested in?
I can really think of too much. I mean, there's almost a theme for almost every game, or a
right,
game
but
for almost
one,
everything.
One that you haven't played yet that you would like to play. You know, like one that jumps to mind is, I know there's a couple games called, one called Everest, and I think one called like K2, and it's about mountain climbing.
Try not to turn your audience off.
Interesting. You know, I guess maybe we have Mountains of Madness, but it doesn't really feel like mountain climbing. But there's also another one I don't know the name offhand, but it's about firefighting, which sounds like that would be a cool thing to handle in a game.
I mean to me, I can't really think of anything off the top of my head. Maybe something more with Greek gods or something, I don't know. I know we got Cyclades, but I feel like if they did a new and improved Greek god game, I think I would like that.
Joe, I know you're all about the horror. Is there like
one specifically? Probably maybe more slasher
right.
kind of themed. I don't I'm sure there's games out there. I just haven't found one that I really like. Yeah, that's probably what I would. That's what I would say. Offhand, I can't really think of one either, really.
Maybe, just maybe, like a legacy game where you're a superhero or supervillain, and as you progress through the game, you gain different powers and different abilities and something like that.
Okay, superhero game. That's cool. Have you guys, I know I buy most of the games, but you guys bought a game just literally based on theme? Because I'm looking at one I bought pretty much based on theme. Now, I know it got pretty decent reviews, and it's like, it's recommended, but I bought a Super Skill Pinball 4K'd, which is a pinball roll and write. And, you know, me and my wife, we play a pinball game on our PlayStation, and I really like pinball, so I bought it based on the theme. You know, I'm sure there are better roll and writes out there that just mechanically do a little bit more, but I like pinball, so I wanted to see what it was about. Haven't played it yet, but I'm excited to.
There's a couple of games that I bought for my wife, actually, because she likes animals, so, like, the theme was, like, animals, a lot of it, and the games have turned out okay. Kung Fu Zoo is kind of a cool little kids game, and then Baron Park was a good puzzle game type game. So,
okay. But
as far for myself, not yet.
Not for Robinson Crusoe. You don't want to be stranded on an island.
I know that one just sounded like a good game that wasn't based on the theme of why.
I mean, it's kind of tough because, you know, we tend to kind of do our research before we buy a game. We don't go into a store and randomly pick games up anymore like we did at the very, very beginning. So it's like any game we look at, we know how it plays. We know, okay, we like this mechanic first, or we like what they're doing here. So it's hard to just to buy it off art or theme. But yeah, any final thoughts on this?
I mean, like Cody said way earlier when in the discussion, I think just art and theme basically just enhances the gaming experience for you. Like Cody said, if the gaming mechanics are great and the theme, you really like the theme, that might propel it to a top 5, top 10 type game for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I would put art and theme and how important it is.
Yeah, I would say my last thought for it is don't be discouraged from buying a game if you feel like you won't like the art or theme on it, more of the theme. Like I said, if it's a good game, it's a good game. So I would say just go for it and don't not buy it, if that makes any sense, just because of the theme. So.
All right, gentlemen, I think I would put the importance of art and theme at around 15%. And that'll be my little final thought on it. It's definitely an enhancer. It's definitely something that drives you towards the game to begin with. But once you're in the game, it's really all about the mechanics. But it's not to be forgotten. So that's my little final thought on it. And speaking of games, Joe, you have a game for us. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. I think it's called What's That Game?
Yeah, we're skipping Meeple's Court this month. And we're going to try What's That Game? It's like 20 questions, but instead of you guys asking the questions, I'm going to give like 20 facts. And then what you guys are going to do is after each fact, you guys are going to think of the game, obviously. And then once it gets to a certain point, you guys are going to think, okay, I know what that game is. And you're going to try to guess it before the other person guesses it.
Okay, all right. That was my question. I was going to say, is this a team game or is this?
No, it is not a team game.
No, so I shouldn't discuss.
I'm going for the victory right
now. I lost
you guys,
this.
You guys, Corey's yeah, you the guys skip. Nerd. You guys and, skip Meeple's Court, so I would lose, but I'm not going to lose.
And, you want to place a little wager?
Yeah, let's see if you'll buy Demon Slayer, the video game.
I was thinking more of a board game because it's a board game podcast.
Joe? We'll discuss terms later, Code, after I win.
Okay, and instead of just shouting out the answer, you guys are going to text me with what number you guys stopped on, and then What was the game? Obviously, because right, if you're wrong,
I'm going to message you.
That's fine. Whatever. Okay. Whatever. Just don't message us in the group chat, obviously.
Right.
Because if you're wrong, the other person can get it right, and even if they got it way after you were right, then they win still.
Gotcha.
All right, you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Yes, sir.
All right. Fact number one: we have played this game together.
Ooh. I know the answer. I'm together. Texting you right now.
Okay. Fact number two: it is a game in the top 250 games overall on BGG. So it's a pretty good game.
Very good.
Fact number three: it was made in year 2015.
Can you give some good facts, actually? Or
don't worry, don't worry. It's good. I can't make it fact all three. Easy. I know, I can't make it all easy.
I need all the help I can get here.
Can't make it all easy.
Oh, I got it already, Code.
Yeah, you got all the board games in front of you. They probably show the years they came out.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Okay, number four. The game is a competitive game.
Of course.
The game is a competitive game.
I know the answer.
Number five. The game has deduction in it.
Never mind.
Number five, the game has deduction in it. Number six, the game has two different teams. The game has two different teams.
Did I stop? No, there's too many like that. Okay.
And you guys, okay.
Keep
number
going.
Number seven. It got a 7.5 on BGG. Competitive game.
Of course.
The game is a bit competitive.
We borrowed it. Go on.
I'm so close.
And because we are close to Halloween, fact number eight is the game is based around horror. The game is based around horror. Fact number eight. Fact number nine, the game is for 2 to 5 players. The game is for 2 to 5 players.
Competitive.
That really throws me off.
Fact number 10.
That's a small amount.
The game is not a party game.
Really?
Deduction. The game is not a party game.
Deduction. I know what it is.
Okay, well text me if you you can wait if you want.
All right.
I will go ahead.
So I can just listen the whole way through.
You can listen all the way through. If Cody texts me and gives the answer, but if he's right and he got it before you, he wins.
But I have no incentive not to listen to it all the way through.
Well, you don't know when I'm guessing.
You could do it and
guessing now.
It doesn't mean I can bluff all I want. It's a bluffing deduction game. You're gonna deduct.
All right.
And you can do it as pride too. If you get all the way to fact.
Yeah, 20, I get it. I get
you
it.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Fact number 11. This game does not require you to roll a dice. This game does not require you to roll a dice.
I'm about to guess.
Number 12. The game has some adventure in it. Some adventure in it. Number 13. The game actually has a board, not totally card based. So it's not totally card based. It has a board. Fact number 14. The board is a map. The board is a map.
Oh, did I get it? Did I get it right?
Fact number 15. The map is not of the United States.
Okay.
Fact number 16. The map is based in Europe. Hopefully it's helping you guys out a little bit. Fact number 17. The game has hidden movement.
I lost.
Hidden movement. Fact number 18. The game has fighting in it.
Mm.
Fact number 19. The game is estimated to take 120 minutes to 180 minutes to play.
Fact 19, it has vampires in it.
That was fact 19. Fact 20 is No, fact 19 was the game is estimated
to
take 120 minutes. Fact number 20 and last one is the game is based on a famous horror movie character. You guys both have your answers in, and I think Cody answered around 15, and he guessed the blind game. The one where you're blind.
Nectophobia?
Yeah.
Yes.
Corey
guessed a number 11, which was really good. And Cody, you have a guess what it is?
Yeah.
Corey got it right.
Wow.
I got it right at 11.
What was fact 11?
At 10, dude. I knew after 10.
What was number 10?
Number 10 was...
I thought you were
the game is not a party game.
I thought you were throwing a curveball at us.
What was number 11? Because I did guess after 11, so then I must have been super confident.
The dice. No dice involved.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of knew it at 10. I thought Cody guessed at 10, and then I was like, I'm screwed. So, yeah, that was a fun game, and I'm a champion, baby.
And the game is Fury of Dracula for those who are playing at home.
Classic. Our first one. First game ever, really.
It was so hard to... come up with like facts and try to like not make it so easy at the beginning, and you still got it after 10, which is ridiculous. But
well, the horror theme was
and there's only so many deduction games, so
yeah,
those were good clues. Those were
I was hoping you guys would like think between Whitehall and Dracula for a minute.
Well, I was way off.
I was thinking Deception, and then I was thinking Werewolf until you did the 2 to 5. Once you, I think 2 to 5 was the one that kind of
I should have waited to have that fact till later. That's
yeah. But. With Deception and 2 to 5, it was money in the bag. Thanks for the game, Joe. That was good.
Yeah, we'll have to
next that topic.
In. We'll have to sit that in
while. Yeah, I like that. Fun. So, game of the month. So as you know, we were just talking about the importance of art and theme. So we're going to talk about a game that has the word art in it. Look how we did that. We're talking about modern art. So this one is a pretty good.
Don't you usually say it differently than that?
Okay. Yeah, modern art is one of like three games where I pronounce it the same every time, and I pronounce it modern art. So that's how you got to say it. That's how you got to say it when you say modern art. So Joe, why don't you give us a review of this game?
Okay. Modern art is a bidding game, and people take the role of. I think art collectors trying to buy art or something like that. And then each person has money, obviously, and their own little board to hide their money. And then during the game, you're going to get, I think, 8 cards at the beginning. And then you're going to play down these cards, which are art cards. And then you're going to place like a bidding card on it or whatever it is. And then you're going to bid on it. And then whatever that card has the most... type of artist on there that helps the artist, and that makes it more worth more money. And basically you're bidding on game, you're bidding on cards, you're bidding on artwork, and whoever has the most money at the end of the game wins.
Perfect. Also made by Reiner Knizia, who is a big time game designer. So
Cody should explain it. He's pretty good at explaining games. I'm pretty crappy.
Yeah, well, Cody came ready. Cody came
I was
most
ready.
Prepared he's ever been. So
I was ready.
That means it probably wasn't going to be a good overview.
It would have been a great overview.
All right, so the gameplay of this of modern art, I'm going to stop saying it just for this podcast, but no, when I play it, I say it every time. So the gameplay of modern art is, like you said, it's a bidding game. But the really cool thing about it is there's 4 different kind of bids in the game.
I think, or 5.
And then like a 5th one that's like a... double a bid. So that's really interesting, because a lot of games you think, okay, hey, all you got to do is one certain type of bid the whole time. This one is it's depending on the card you play down, that's what kind of bid you're going to do, and it really does change up the strategy from time to time. So the 4 kind of bids are pretty much just open bidding, where everyone can shout numbers and whoever has it last kind of wins it. Closed bidding with your hands, your fist, and with money inside of it, you open up at the same time. A one where it goes around the room, and then the person who started the bid gets one chance to overtake the final one, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then which one am I missing here?
The fixed bidding, where the person who plays down the card
says a number
And then if someone wants to buy it for that number, they can, or the person who sent them the number just buys it.
Yeah, so I really like the four different bidding styles. I think it's super unique. You know, none of the bids are unique, but putting four in the same game is awesome. You know, so you're always on your toes. You're always, like, trying to, like, outdo somebody. But, yeah, I think the bidding in this game is, obviously, it's the main part of the game. Excellent.
Yeah, I agree. I really like bidding games. I think it adds a lot of, you know, to me, it's one of my favorite styles. And yeah, like you said, the four different bids adds uniqueness to the game. The thing I have wrong about this, the bad about this game, is sometimes I feel like it's, you can kind of, I guess it's part of board game, but you can kind of control and dictate, you know, the aspect of it. Like, you can kind of screw someone over by just, because the way it goes through a round, and when the fifth card of the artist is played in that specific round, the round end automatically. So, you know, you can kind of control the game and not really give other people a chance somewhat, but that's really my only downfall about it. But other than that, and plus, I guess the math can get kind of confusing too when you're adding up previous round, you know, like this one was worth 30,000 this round per painting, and then you add in two rounds later, now it's worth another 20,000, so now you're adding 50, it's worth 50,000 per painting. It can just get, you know, a little confusing at times when there's so much going on.
Yeah, math is hard. Yes. we all know that. But the one point about, like, when you play down the fifth card of the same artist, the round automatically ends. It's tough for you to do that when you want to. So, like, if Joey is doing, like, the same artist and he really wants the round to end, it's really hard for him to get that fifth card out because there's only a certain number of cards for each artist. So it's very unlikely that Joe's going to get so many of that artist that he'll be able to lay down, you know, the first, second, third, and then, like, maybe the fifth one, you know. So that is a little difficult, but it does happen, and that's definitely a downside. I wanted to talk about, for the gameplay, the part where the top three artists get recognized, and those are the only three that can sell their paintings. I think that's really cool. And I like that how even after the first round, that plays into effect the entire rest of the game. So maybe Manuel, his paintings aren't worth anything the second round, but he won the first round, and then the third round he wins it, then his paintings are worth a lot again. I think that's a really cool aspect.
Yeah, I think the part of where you can, like, kind of dictate the game, that's kind of the whole point of the game, is to kind of, you're picking your strategy of, when am I going to screw this person? When am I going to help this person? Usually, most of the time, you're screwing the person who has the most paintings in front of them. Sometimes it doesn't work out like that, but most of the time, right, you're doing that. So you're, like, kind of like trying to take down the leader almost. So I think that's kind of, like, a cool aspect to it. And then, like Corey said, with the the painting, the artists, and their one round they can be worth a lot, and the next round they can be not worth anything. So you got to be really careful with how you're playing your cards, and you never know when that person next to you is going to screw you.
Right. Yeah, like I said, with there only being a certain number of paintings per artist, you know, if you go very heavily on Manuel, if you get his cards the second round, you also want to go very heavy on him, because I wouldn't say you have an advantage as a person that plays the card down, but I feel like you kind of do, because you're not always going to win that bid, but you actually have a chance to. You have a chance to win everyone, but at least you can play the cards down.
Well, the advantage to the guy playing the card down is either you're going to get the painting, which,
or money.
So right, that's the advantage of it. Most likely you're going to win in that situation, unless you buy the painting for way more than you should, which is...
Math is hard sometimes.
I think the first time I played this game, I was trying to have a take that attitude, and I probably bought paintings that I shouldn't have bought.
I think you paid $2,000 more than what they were worth at the end of the round.
So
yeah, you proved the point not to mess with you.
But that's a fun part of the game too. It's like, the obviously bidding, that's that type of theme, and that's what bidding is. Take that attitude. You know what I mean? I have more money than you. I'm going to take this. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to take that. And that's kind of the fun part of the game, too, that I like.
Yeah, the bidding is easily the best part of the game. Obviously, it makes the game. But, like, the four unique ones, you just – it never really gets old in one game sitting, you know, because, like you said, you can have an open auction where you know what someone's going to bid, and then you have a secret one where, you know, you're wondering, are they going to, you know, overpay me or overpay, and then – you overpay for the painting yourself, and then, you know, it's just kind of mind games as well in the game, so it's kind of makes it a little interesting.
Yeah, and I would kind of agree with Cody that the math portion of it does kind of suck. You're sitting there thinking, man, do I pay $8,000 for this when it's only worth, might only be worth 10? So it's like, it's a big thinking game of with that, but I like the bidding in it, and I think it's a great gameplay with it.
Yeah, so Cole, you were saying math is hard, obviously. I think a problem I have with the game is math is also very easy in this game in terms of, Joe, you just said it. Hey, the painting is going to be worth 10 grand. You know, there's not much that can change that. I'm at least going to bid up to 9. Because I know that's going to be $1,000 profit. So while there is a lot of like speculative and you don't want to pay too much for a painting, at the end of the day, if you can sell a painting for 30, well, then you're going to at least buy it for 29, I think, because mm-hmm. it will always get you $1,000. Now, the flip side is it does depend on who's selling the painting, because I don't want to pay you $29,000 when I'm only going to get $1,000 profit, because it helps you a lot more than it helps me. But a lot of the times it comes down to, the painting's going to be profitable. I've got to buy it. So it almost feels like some things are set in stone. At the beginning of the round, they're not, because everything's wide open. You don't know what artist is going to get paid out. But even midway through the round, you can see the writing on the wall. Like, hey, blue artist is going to come in first most likely. So I have to buy his paintings because they're going to be worth 30 grand. And I would say that's probably my biggest fault with the game, where it's kind of like almost no decision. Hey, if I don't want to buy this painting, I at least got to bid this guy up to 29 grand because he's going to do it because it's worth 30.
Right. Yeah, I agree on that. And plus, I honestly think in the game, selling's way more important than buying. I feel like
it is.
Win selling paintings than actually buying paintings. But yeah, I agree with your point.
Okay. Joe, any last things on gameplay?
Yeah, I kind of want to get back to the point of where, like, that kind of screwing aspect of the game. I kind of like that. I know maybe you guys don't like it as much because you guys are always winning, but me as a loser, I kind of like teaming up and being like, man, let's try to screw this guy. I like that aspect of it. Maybe I'm just weird, but I don't know.
I think it's fun too. Like, you know, Cody buys two of the yellow paintings and then you put out two blue. And then I put out the final two blue, and it's like, hey, his yellow paintings are literally worthless.
Worth nothing, so, yeah.
Thank you. Have a great day. let's jump into components for this game. I think I'll just take it real quick. Components are pretty basic. You have a board. You have some tokens. You have, like, a plastic sheet that goes in front of you to hide your money. And then you have the cards themselves, which flip over to be paintings. I don't think any of the components are too special. You know, they seem quality enough, but it's not like there's a lot of components to this game. It's pretty basic.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, yeah, I totally agree. They're just little money tokens. You know, they're not super quality, but, you know, it is what it is. The board, same thing. I mean, the best part about it, I guess, is the cards, looking at all the different paintings and just seeing the different designs on there. But even those aren't, you know, like, super special.
Right.
It is what it is for the game. I mean, it gets the job done. Really, we talked about, the point of the game is the bidding, which makes it fun. And you don't really need too many components for bidding. So.
Right.
Yeah, I would totally agree with Cody. It gets the job done, basically. They got that little cardboard thing that kind of hides your money, which is it's nice. Yes. It's not great. It's not like made out of metal or something, you know what I mean? But it's like it's cardboard, but right. The money is cardboard. It's cheap, but it gets the job done. There's no need for anything better than what it provides.
So, with a title like Modern Art, you would think the art is spectacular in this game, along with theme. Joe, why don't you tell us, is the art spectacular?
I mean, the cards are obviously, the art on them is pretty nice, right?
Right, I mean, they're real pieces of art.
I would say, I think they're really
spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, but other than that, I think the art is okay. On the little cardboard piece, it's got, like, art studios or something like that, which is kind of cool, but I don't think the art is spectacular in this game.
Code?
I mean, he pretty much said it all. I totally agree. The art's okay. You know, it's not like something I want to keep looking at and looking through and just seeing with the different styles of art on the cards. You know, you pretty much pick up the card, you see which artist it is, you see what bidding type it is, and you put it down. No one really pays attention to the art. So this is one of those games where the gameplay is what makes it fun. Like we talked about in our first segment, and that's why we play it still. You know, it's not really for the art and theme why we play it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, obviously they're works of art on the card. So art is subjective. I don't think all of the pieces of art are very nice to look at. Some of them are very weird. Some of them are very, it is modern art. So you would expect that. I wouldn't mind if they came out with a game like Renaissance art or, you know, pre-1940s art or something. You know, I would love to see some classic art pieces that I recognize, but I understand the game is called Modern Art. But yeah, like you two said, the art and theme is just kind of there. The art's pretty good. The theme, I've never been on paintings in real life, so I can't really relate too well, but it's fine, I guess.
I they don't do like secret bidding like that and stuff like that. So, but
well, yeah. In the underground art world, they might, Joe.
Maybe.
You've never been.
I did on a cruise ship. So,
well, yeah, that's not underground. That's over water.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, all right. Sense. Now it sounds like we're dogging this game a lot, but this game is a lot of fun. So I don't want everyone listening thinking this.
Yeah, no, it does.
Trash.
I does sound like
we're
dog this game.
Your final
I love this game. Right? I love this game.
We have keep that for your final thoughts.
We have longevity. Dog this game. I think this is a 10.
longevity, Joe. We've had this game for a while, right? 4-5 years, maybe? It's 3-5 years?
Yeah. Yeah. I got it for my birthday a couple years ago, I think. I think you guys got it for my birthday a couple years ago. Longevity is great. I love this game. We've been dogging it, but I love this game. This game is really fun to me, and I keep putting it in the game tournament, and I win, I lose, doesn't matter. I just like playing it. Like the different bid styles make it a little interesting. That little stick it to you attitude, that makes it a little interesting. It's longevity's there. I like it. I like it a lot. I'm going to keep playing this game for a while.
Code?
Yeah, I mean, like you said it, I mean, we keep going back to it every once in a great while. You know, it's not like we pull it out every time we play, but, you know, for the older games we have, it probably comes out more than most of our older games. So I feel like it's something we go back to, probably just because of the bidding. It's just fun. But, yeah, I think longevity, I mean, play it maybe once a year or so, twice a year. I mean, it's not great, but for an older game and how many different games we buy, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, we've never said, man, I'm not coming back to this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or every time I play it, I'm like, I love this game and I want to play it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you both nailed it on longevity. We keep coming back to it. I know we probably played it a bunch when it first came out. And when we usually do that, we won't really play a game again. You know, we played it 3, 4, 5 times when it first came out, and then we never touched a game again. But this one got that initial play where we played it a bunch, and then we just keep bringing it out when there's nothing really else to play, or when we got a larger group or something. Not a larger group, but when we have like just a regular group, it's like, hey, let's play Modern Art. We like this game. So I think it has good longevity. And I expect we'll keep playing it forever. You know, it'll be one of those games.
Yeah.
Yeah, for years to come.
Your son will be playing it.
Yeah. you guys violently ripped on this game, the entirety of it. So why don't you give us your final thoughts? Joe, go ahead.
Okay. My final thoughts is, I mean, we have been kind of ripping it with the art and the theme and stuff like that. But what it comes down to is gameplay, obviously. And the gameplay is just is really good for me. The bidding, I like bidding games, and this hits the nail in the coffin with the nail in the head with the bidding, and it's just I like it a lot. My rating is an 8.5.
Nice, Cody.
Joey said we've been dogging it, but to me, the bidding is what makes the game, and the bidding is a lot of fun. It makes you think. You know, you don't know what the next person is going to do, so that's always fun. The game can get a little repetitive with the bidding, but, you know, to me, it keeps it fresh, you know, keeps it fun enough to where I want to keep going back to it. So I will give it a 7.5.
Nice. So if you know how I like to play games, I like games with a lot of mechanics all rolled into one. You know, hey, we got worker placement, we got deck building, we got this, we got that. Modern art is not like that. Modern art does bidding, and that's it. It's only bidding, but it does bidding very, very well. So if you love bidding games, obviously you probably already have this game. But if you're interested in bidding games, this is the one to get because it showcases all the different kind of bids, and it does it really well. And like I said, components kind of suck. Art and theme, not really there. Just those things don't hinder the mechanics of the game. The mechanics are very strong for modern art. I also give it a 7.5, which I think is a good score, you know? And I would definitely recommend this.
I agree.
Yeah. Cool.
Modern art was our game of the month, and I think we were all pretty high on it. So let's move on from that. And Joe's topic, as we like to call it here, the digital minute. Joe, what have you got for us this month that people should play on their phones or tablets?
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Last month, I think I played a game with Cody, and it was called Mr. Jack. And Corey been telling about this game for months or years, whatever. But no. I finally found it on the app on my phone.
I think we were all pretty high on it. So let's move on from
that board game where you're moving your pieces and stuff. It's kind of like it's got 9 tiles and you're either Mr. Jack or you're Sherlock. And Sherlock is trying to find Mr. Jack. And obviously Mr. Jack is trying to run. The tiles are like roads to people. And what you're trying to do in the game is, as Sherlock, you're trying to put Sherlock in line of sight of the person. And whoever that person, when you're in that line of sight, that person is caught or not caught. So basically, you're just trying to find Mr. Jack, and Mr. Jack is trying to maneuver his tiles to not get caught and not be in line of sight. So it's a little different than the actual board game, but Mr. Jack was $1.99, and I have not played it online yet, but I love it on solo. And they got this like blitz mode where you're trying to like go as fast as you can and not get caught. They got different modes like easy, medium, and hard. And I've been trying hard, and it's really hard. So, but that's my digital minute, Mr. Jack.
Digital minute and a half, not bad. Is that Mr. Jack?
Stop me.
Is that Mr. Jack Pocket?
Yeah, that might be it.
Okay, because there is like a board game.
There is actual Mr. Jack.
There's a Mr. Jack Pocket, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's
an app. Wrong.
No, I don't know. I don't know if there's a Mr. Jack app, but I know there's a Mr. Jack Pocket game.
Okay, because that's what it might be. Because Mr.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Mr. Jack is you're like moving through with the pieces, and this one's just literally tiles, and you're just trying to get through the line of sight and stuff like that.
I've never played Pocket, but from what I read, I believe I remember reading it was like Sherlock versus Jack. So that was
okay. It's probably
pretty good.
Yeah, I like it. Only thing about the app, it kind of bugs a little bit and freezes. So I'll be like in the middle of the game and it's like, it freezes and it's like, oh man, I was going to win this round. Probably not, but
of course you were.
But yeah, I played it for like a week and then I'm kind of tired of it now, but it's not bad. I haven't tried it online yet. Maybe it'll be better online.
Right. Yeah. For $199, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's not bad.
All right, boys. We have probably my favorite topic here. We have the podium, which is where we put a game on the podium. We give a bronze medal, a silver medal, and a gold medal. And this month we are doing our most surprising games. I feel like we've done a couple negative topics in a row. So this will be nice to actually do something that we'll be pleasantly surprised, I hope. No horrible surprises. Joe, you're on my left side of the screen today, so you're going first, buddy. That's just how it works. You know, I look to my left.
And I haven't been getting called first at all today.
It's who's ever on the left or right. That's how it works for me.
I've been the most prepared I've ever been, and I'm never getting called.
It showed. Trust me. Joe, why don't you hit us with your most surprising game, the bronze medal.
Okay, my bronze medal for the most surprising game is, I'm just going to get right into it. It's Scythe.
Mm.
This game, when I first looked at it, I think one of Corey's friends bought it and I was not interested in it. We were sitting down and trying to read the rules and it was just not interesting at all. The first time I played it, I think we quit like halfway through and I were like, it's okay, whatever. And then Corey bought it a little later and then I started to like a little more and I actually liked it so much. I played it solo and I played it a couple times solo and I just enjoy the game. I don't know what it is. I just, when you first look at the game, you're like, man, this game is not right up my alley. It's a farming game. It's not up my alley. And as I get to play it, I actually enjoy it. So that's my most bronze medal for most surprising game.
That's a great pick.
Yeah, it helps when you win every time.
That's probably what it is.
You're good at the game.
That's probably what it is. If I sucked, I probably wouldn't like it.
This guy's like a monkey in every other game, and then this game, he's Albert Einstein.
I am pretty good at that game.
Kevin, why don't you hit us with your bronze?
All right. My bronze, it's kind of a weird game. It's Fury of Dracula.
Mm.
The reason it's up there is because when we first got into board gaming, we didn't know what to expect, you know? We were basically, you know, normal game, Monopoly, whatever, garbage games. And then we tried to play a bigger game, and we picked Fury of Dracula, and now here we are making podcasts. So to me,
wow,
you know, it was a
good
surprise.
Way to put it.
it was a surprise that, you know, we liked the game so much that we continue the hobby, and we're here, and, you know, the rest is history. So that's a great game.
That's a great pick, man. Great little story behind it too. I was really excited for this podium. A lot of times, like I said, I buy a lot of games, so I do a lot of research. I don't really get surprised by games unless I'm kind of disappointed by them. You know, it's a little bit harder for me to be like, oh man, that was so much better than I thought it was. But I do have a couple. The first one is something where when we heard about the game, it felt like it sounded cool to an extent, but something that we could never play. And then Joey, I believe, got it for us for Christmas. Captain Sonar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Captain Sonar is my bronze. Like I said, you really have to have eight players to make it shine. That's just something that we don't really have. And it's pretty much battleships. That's what it sounds like from the outset.
I really thought you were going to say battle robots for some reason.
No, battleships. So, but when you get a team of eight people together, four on one side and four on the other, it is one of the greatest versing games, one of the greatest cooperative games. And it's real time, and it's just nuts. It's so much fun. It's so crazy. Love that game.
Yeah. Good game. Yeah, it's unfortunate we can't get eight people together more else, you know, because everyone has their own roles. So it's, you know, makes it everyone's engaged in the game. It's not like anyone's just sitting around.
Yeah, six people ain't bad in the game with it, but eight most of the time is
Yeah,
is where
the way to go. Yep,
for sure.
But all right, Joe, you are back up with your silver pick.
Okay, I want to lay down a little story. Corey was kind of hyping this game a lot. He was really excited for it, and then when I heard about it, I was like, I'll play it, but I'm not really that interested in it. And then even when we sat down and played it, and we were reading the rules, I was like,
what game is this, Code?
I'm still not that interested in it. And then all these years later, it is my top three game of all time. Mind. Western Legends.
Really? You felt that way from the beginning?
It was like one of those things that's like, yeah, it's okay. I'll play it when you were explaining it. But then once you just play it, I mean, it speaks for itself for me. You know what I mean? Everybody knows freedom. How I feel about that game.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody knows how I feel about that game. It's one of my favorite games of all time. So that was obviously a great surprise.
Great game.
Nice. Cody.
So. All right. I got a weird game here. We never play it.
We never played it. Okay.
I played it a few times, but for some reason I really enjoyed this game and I have no idea why. Cottage Garden. Joe, I believe you have a game. That's like
really
that too.
Surprising.
Yeah, that is very surprising.
Yes. I don't know. The game to me is just a lot of fun. I have no idea why. I guess I kind of like the aspect of, you know, you get to pick through pieces like a Tetris board, and you got to make these pieces fit onto your board, and then, you know, without trying to take up too much empty space. So you want to fill up your board as fast as possible with the pieces that you're available to get. And to me, I don't know, it's just really fun, and I don't know why we don't ever really play it. I think I played it two or three times only. I know, Joe, like I said, I think you got a game
that
like
one's
that.
Like, Baron that Park. One's like Baron Park. That
yeah, exactly so, Baron Park. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I guess I just like those type of games. But
yeah,
to me, it's
Cottage,
really enjoyable.
Cottage Garden, to me, was the theme really held it back on that one. It was just like, what am I even doing here? You know what I mean? And nobody liked it enough for me, I guess. I didn't know you liked it that much, but nobody liked it enough to keep bringing it out.
I think there's a game, Corey. Isn't there a better game than Cottage Garden?
There's three in that series.
Yeah, I don't know why I like it. It just was enjoyable to me.
It's okay. I'm not a huge fan of it, but you know, that's neither here nor there. I'm glad you like
when
it.
You lose.
Well, you know, I never lose at that game. All right, so my silver pick is, as I said, I buy a lot of board games. So what happens is, what tends to happen is, when someone else buys a board game, I kind of am reluctant. I'm like, do I really want to play this guy's board game? Because guess what? I've already looked at that board game, and I realized I don't want to play it, or else I would have just bought it myself. You know, and this board game, I actually had looked at quite a bit. I had read reviews, and it was like mid-tier. It was not that great. And then, Joey, when you told me you were going to buy it, I was like, I didn't want to, you know, persuade you not to buy it because you seem interested. But in my head, I was like, yeah, this game, you know, I read a lot of reviews. It's just kind of a mid-tier game. It's fine. It's not something I'm going to be interested in. But Parks, which we've already reviewed on this podcast, was so surprising for me because, like I said, I had read a lot on it. And it sounded just like a very basic average game. But I love it. I think it is so strategic. I think it is the right amount of stress, the right amount of maneuverability in the game that I can't help but just always really get into the game whenever I'm playing it. I'm very good at it, which obviously helps, but it's just the art and the theme are very nice. The components are very nice. And like I said, that little bit of strategy, you don't have to do too much. There's not a lot of mechanics to it, but it's asking you to move two hikers and you can't be on the same spot as someone else. And just that what you have to do in that game just really works my brain to a awesome extent. I love that game.
Yeah, that's weird that you thought that way. That's kind of funny because I was hyped for it. You know what I mean? It lived up to hype for me.
Like I said, I had read about it before though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like when you read reviews, you kind of get like persuaded. You know, I was like, okay, man, it's just an okay game. You know?
Yeah. Like I said, I was hyped for it. So like it kind of lived up to the hype for me, and you were surprised by it. So that's kind of funny.
Right. Guys, your most surprising games of all time. Gold. Joey, go ahead.
Okay. Another story time. It was my birthday a couple years ago, and you guys bought me two games. I don't know why you guys bought me two games. I didn't even get to pick these games. Corey just was like, Corey does this thing where he's like, I'm going to buy you a birthday gift of games I want, which is whatever.
Oh, that sounds disingenuous.
Yes, that's basically how this went. You guys picked two games.
Well, it sounds like it worked out for you.
It was Colt
Express. One of them did.
It was Colt Express, which was okay. I don't think we played it that much. But the other one was Modern Art. We talked about Modern Art.
Yeah, wow.
But my most surprising game was Modern Art. Because, like I said, it was just like a whim buy. Corey probably did his research on it. Was like, man, this game is awesome. I'm going to love this game. I'm going to try it. I'm going to buy it for Joey's birthday. And I really want it, but it's his birthday. It's an excuse to buy a game, basically. But I wasn't really interested in it, but whatever. And I ended up really liking this game. And it's definitely a top 10, one of my favorite games. So most surprising is Modern Art.
I remember the story a little differently, but that's okay. I think Joey was going to buy
whole story.
I think Joey was going to buy a fifth version of Monopoly, and we stopped him. So sorry for that, Code. If you want to,
all right.
You want to besmirch my name more? Go ahead.
My last game is in my top 10 games. It's a very simple game, but it's obviously one of my favorite games. The Resistance. I just love this game. To me, it's obviously a deduction game. Well, not obviously, if you don't know what it is. It's a deduction game, kind of like Secret Hitler, where there's a good team and a bad team, and you got to literally finding out who the bad team is by placing cards down and then, figuring it out. But to me, it's just a lot of fun, all the arguments you have while playing the game, saying, you put this card down, no, I didn't, and then you got to convince everyone else. So it's a bluffing game. You got to try to read the people with you. If they're telling you lies, you just got to read their body language and figure out who they are. So to me, I'll always play this game. I love this game. But Resistance to me is just, such a simple game, but one of my favorite games ever.
Good pick. Good pick.
That's a good pick. We haven't played it in a while. We need to bring that out.
Yes, we do. I got a little bit of a story. We've all had here for my gold. I said I do a lot of research on my games. I like to watch Rado runs through. And this game, I'd watched him play, me and my wife, because we were looking for a new game to buy. We thought it sounded okay. I was like, oh, that game's not too bad. We went to the board game shop, and it was there. I was kind of indifferent about it, but my wife's like, oh, I want it. I really want it. We bought it. I played it. It's my number one game of all time, Viticulture.
I got crabs.
not you've got crabs.
That was most disappointing.
Yes. Viticulture is my most surprising game because going into it, I expected an okay game based on the research and the videos I had watched. It sounded fun enough, not something that I had to order that night on Amazon or go to the board game shop to pick up immediately. It was just like, hey, if I see it, depending on the circumstances, maybe I'll pick it up. I don't know. So, bought Viticulture, played it, immediately was like, man, this game's great. The expansion sounds great. I immediately bought the expansion. I only played the base game one time. And, probably played it upwards of 20 times with a whole bunch of different groups of people, and I love it every time. That is definitely my most surprising game of all time.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's a surprising game for me, too. I like that game a lot. It's fun.
Good, man. Glad to hear that. I think we all had really good picks this time. I like to hear that. I like to hear all those, except for Joey's story. That hurt. Just trying to be a good friend. Usually people don't get to pick their birthday gifts. All right. Usually it's picked for you and handed to you. All right. It just so happened that it happened immediately. We got to pick your gifts and give them to you immediately.
I mean, to be fair, I probably did you first with Betrayal on the Hill or whatever. I remember I picked a Christmas gift for you guys, and it's like, well, I'm picking this game. Screw you guys.
Look, the game I really want.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, I believe we're at the end of the episode. And if someone could tell me specifically, Joey, since you're on the left, could you tell me what this segment's called?
Wheel of Destiny.
Nah. Cody?
Wheel of Destiny.
Joey, back to you.
Wheel!
There we go.
Destiny!
There we go. So, as you guys know who listen, at the end of the episode, we don't know what to talk about next month. So we spin a wheel and that decides for us. Right now, we have six topics on the board. We have our own personal gaming evolution. We have legacy games. We have a gaming IP wish list. We have gaming length discussion. We have a complexity discussion. And we have games we never got to love discussion. So how this goes is I have this little Wheel of Destiny thing that I spin for the boys. They watch me spin it, and then we put that next month. So let's see here. You guys can see it.
I'm picking Legacy this month. I always get it wrong, so I'm not picking Legacy. Shoot. I'm picking games we love.
Legacy.
What
was it?
Gaming IP.
I'm okay with this one. This one sounds like it'll be very fun. So gaming IP means... intellectual property. So I want a Harry Potter game like this. I want a Lord of the Rings game like this. We're going to be talking about franchises in media that we would love to see made into board games. Now, maybe they already have a board game, but we would like to see a more specific type of board game or something like that. So,
right. We want the game.
Very happy about this topic. Very excited.
Yeah, I'd be excited for that one.
Right. And obviously, you can catch us every last Wednesday or last Friday or first Tuesday of the month. We don't really know now. We just do it month by month. We'll try to get it a little more even, but that's the end of this episode. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being on here with me. Joseph.
See you later.
Thank you. Cody.
Have a good night.
There we go. And like I said, if you like what you heard, please subscribe. Tell a friend. Tell an enemy. I don't care. Just have someone else listen to us. We really appreciate all the support. It's been really awesome. Hit us up on Board Game Geek. We post topics on there. We also have an email, meeplebg@gmail.com. And I'm also on a video game podcast, the Thoughts and Players podcast. If you like that, check us out. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have an awesome month.
Peace.